So we will conclude the talk today with Amani. Amani na. Amani means one who does not expect any respect from anyone. Who has no expectation of any respect from anyone. You know, there is a chapter in Bhagavatam, 5th canto, before Priyavrat, there is a section of, there are a few verses, I think it is 5th canto, 15th chapter, text number 10 to 15. And read. 5.15.10-15. You can read those verses. It's talking about one great king called Gaya. He was a very noble king. He was a devotee king. How he ruled his country is very beautifully explained there. How beautifully he ruled. It is said he gave his citizens various things. Poshana means he fed them sumptuously. Nice prasad. There were no citizens who didn't have proper food to eat. Everyone was sufficiently nourished. It's called as toshana. Then upalalana, it is said. He called for town meetings where all people would come together and he would praise the people who have done good work and he would offer them gifts and everything. Prinama, it is a four words are used. Toshana, Prinama, Upalalana, Anushasana. Anushasana means he would give them instructions on what is right, what is wrong, how to live a pure life. Give them instructions. And Prinama means actually speaking kind words. So he would do all these things, and then if you keep reading those verses, it says he was a leader of the praja. He was an ideal leader, he says, of all the people. And he used all the resources he had in glorification of Krishna only. And for the welfare of the other people. Everything he did for others' welfare. And then it says, he was a leader of the people and he was a servant of the devotees, it says. Which means, we can never be a leader of devotees. Why? A devotee always considers sometimes somebody is in a subordinate position, somebody is in a superior position in the circle of devotees. Somebody is made a president, or somebody is made a GPC, somebody is made a head of the department, or somebody is given a group of people to manage, devotees to manage. So, just like your ICS, you have Sanjay Krishna Prabhu and Radha Pramod Prabhu, you have a group like this. Similarly for Sanatana Rupavan, they have made one leader, Keshavanand Prabhu, Sundar Shyam Prabhu. So all these positions what we accept when it comes to leadership is actually to offer service to the devotees in an organized way, in a coordinated way. So we can serve them better. What that we accept. We should know that these are all servants of Krishna. See, everyone sitting here, they all have voluntarily accepted to throw away the worldly attachments and worldly responsibilities and wear this yellow dress, come and stay here in the temple, wearing tilak, kantimala, you know, and obliging themselves to follow a certain code of norms, ultimately for returning back to Godhead and living for the welfare of others. So everyone has voluntarily made the decision. That is the beauty of devotional service. In devotional service, there is no force. There is no compulsion. Every living being has Krishna Prem in their hearts and they want to express it. And they want someone to help them express it. So, you know, Krishna is so sweet that even a little experience of Krishna Bhakti is so enchanting to the heart that, you know, we become delighted and we are looking for someone in this world. Is there anyone who will help me to learn how I can express my love and devotion to Krishna? And that's where the Guru comes into picture. So Guru is a person who facilitates the love of the living entity to be directed towards Krishna. And by so doing, he pleases Krishna also and living entity also, both. Because right now, just like for example, if you have a disease, you go to a doctor. Say you have a severe headache or a fever, that disturbs your rhythm of the body. You know, you are not peaceful, you are not living a normal life. You go to the doctor. What does the doctor do? He relieves you of the sickness by giving some medicine. Again, you are healthy and happy. That's what Guru does. Guru tells us actually how we are all servants of Krishna and how by forgetting Krishna we are suffering. He puts us back in touch with Krishna. And anybody who is appointed by the Guru to safeguard and protect his disciples should actually do the same job. He should facilitate their devotion to blossom in relation to Krishna. That's what we should do. But when we accept such positions like Gaya, King Gaya actually was the leader of the praja, people in general, and servant of the devotees, it is said. Why? The praja means common people, they have to be lauded over. What is the meaning of lauding over? Because general praja has a tendency for sense gratification. They want to watch movies, they want to indulge in illicit sex, you know, they want to get into wrong track. So the king has to make rules, regulations and control the praja from going on the wrong path and engage them in religious activities. Come to temple, attend cultural activities and direct them. And if anybody becomes a rogue or a thief, he has to punish them, control them and all that. But when it comes to devotees, it says he was a servant of the devotees, because the pure devotees, nobody can lord over them. Lord only can lord over them. And Lord himself doesn't lord over. He becomes servant of the devotees himself. Although Lord is the Lord of pure devotees, he himself becomes a servant. So that is why as a devotee advances more and more in devotional life, they need a very little supervision to be controlled over them as they grow more and more in devotional life. But oftentimes it is seen, because of this principle, some people take undue advantage. They think, now I have become senior, now nobody can control me. It shouldn't be like that. Nowadays, GBC is coming up with a system, even that gurus and sannyasis, even to watch their sadhana also. What is because of your sadhana and my sadhana? No. Why it is needed? Because when we become more and more senior devotees, we should be so exemplary that people should feel, what is the need of supervising this person? You understand, huh? This person needs no supervision. Even if you send him alone to Congo Forest, 4:30 in the morning he'll be up. He'll be doing Mangalati in the Congo Forest. Even if he's alone. That much we should be exemplary. That's the meaning of a devotee, actually. Devotee is very exemplary. But unfortunately, people at the level of even sannyasis and gurus over a period of time, people take undue advantage of their position. Exploit. They think, now I am so senior that I should not be behaving like young devotees. Why should I be in the Mangalarti? Why should I be in the Bhagavatam? People think like that. Then there has to be a supervision for them. You understand, no? Otherwise, the Shuddha Bhaktas, pure devotees are supposed to be such a standard that king would not want to lord over them. Rather, he would be a servant of those people. Yeah. So, anybody who is given some devotees under his custody, his job is a very tough job. Devamrita was once telling in one Vyasa Puja offering, he said, managing machines is not very difficult, very easy, he said. Managing people is a little more difficult, but by paying them salary and incentives and promotion, you know, we can manage people in a company. If you show the money, dangle the carrot of money, people will work hard. But he said, managing devotees is a very tough job. It's a very difficult job, because devotees have not come here for any monetary benefit. They have not come here for anything material. You cannot allure them with anything material. They have come here voluntarily. On their own, they have decided that I want to serve Krishna and propagate Krishna consciousness. So such voluntary people who have come, you cannot forcibly control them with showing any material allurement for them. You know, such kind of course, if the devotees are really living serious devotees, they cannot be allured by anything material. You can't say, I'll give a foreign chance, I'll give a Mayapur chance. you know, if you do this service, you know, they will not be alluded by anything because they have come for Krishna only. Yeah. So when somebody is posted as a leader, as a group of devotees managing them, it's not a very easy task, because when there is some money or some motivation is there, it's easy to control people. But when there is no mental motivation, it's very difficult to, like you tell them you do this and they don't do it, it's very difficult. That's one of the reasons we take very serious devotees. Now you understand why we take very serious devotees in ICFC? Because if people have come for searching for Krishna, they will automatically surrender. Because they know that this discipline is for my good. It's for my good. They will very willingly, voluntarily, they will surrender. And they don't have to be too much controlled with a stick or told, hey, Prabhuji, don't go here, don't go there, don't do this. Like sometimes we find in some temple, somebody joins the ashram and then they are flirting with woman, you know, or they are misappropriating money. Why? They have not come for Krishna. They have come for some other purpose. This is a problem. We should not take people who have not come for spiritual life. So if they are searching for Krishna, then they will be serious and sincere. And they don't have to be controlled also. So King Gaya, he was a servant of the devotees, it says there. So anybody put as a leader of the devotees should never think these people are objects for my enjoyment, or I can exploit them, I can enjoy them, I can lord over them, I can control them, I can manipulate them, and because they are under my custody, I can do whatever I want with them. I can scold them, taunt them, I am in a superior position. One should never think like that. One should rather think that actually these are all the manifestations of my Guru's mercy, Prabhupada's mercy. Prabhupada's mercy has manifested so in so many different ways. All these people have read Prabhupada's books, they have heard lectures, and they have become enlivened in the Krishna consciousness. That's why they are here, willing to dedicate their lives. And I have to help them blossom their Krishna consciousness and go back to Krishna. And I am a facilitator. I am a coordinator or a facilitator. It is not like they are like my employed servant. Employed servant you may treat in a different way. And Jamindar are treating an employed servant. He may treat in a different way. But the devotees are not like that. Devotees are Krishna's property. Nobody can mistreat them. See, when Dvija Gorilla tried to mistreat the gopis who were walking along with Krishna and Balaram across the Raivata mountains, isn't it? So he tried to show many, many caricatures and all, kila kila, and all he was shouting. Then when he came to pull the, you know, sari of the gopis screamed. And then you know what happened subsequently. Because the gopis are Krishna's property. Nobody can mishandle them. In the same manner, devotees are all Krishna's property. They are meant for Lord's happiness. So we have to, that's why devotees can be, you can put a label on their forehead, handle with care. Devotees are handled with care items. Because they are tadiya of Krishna. Tadiya means, they are a paraphernalia of Krishna, topmost paraphernalia of Krishna. Tadiyanam samarchanam. They are so loved and worshipped by even Krishna, how are we supposed to treat them? So that is why most people in this world don't want to discipline devotees. That's one of the reasons. You go anywhere in the world, one of the reasons people fear disciplining devotees is there's a great possibility of getting into the zone of committing offenses while disciplining devotees. Because in the name of disciplining devotees, we may tend to become proud and we may torture them or punish them or whatever, and because of which we will fall down. So most people think better to not discipline anyone. You chant Krishna Nama Govinda, you go back to Godhead. Many people think you chant God's name, you read scriptures, and you, if you are a leader, okay, let people be doing on their own whatever they want to do, let them do. Voluntarily they have come, voluntarily they will do. Just close your eyes. Anything anybody is doing wrong, close the eyes. Now, most places you travel all around the world. So to discipline devotees is not an easy thing. And who can discipline devotees? First of all, we ourselves have to lead such a life that disciplining devotees will not incur any sin for you. We have to live a very pure and serious and strict life ourselves. If I don't do something, I cannot demand anything from others, from other people. That is one thing. Another thing is, not only we have to lead a strict life and pure life, we also should make sure that the demands that I am making of devotees, I am making them only for their welfare, not to show my swamitva or my mastership over them. Whatever demands I make should be for their good, for their welfare, and I have to be 101% confident of that. Otherwise, if I am doing it for boasting about my greatness or bragging about my greatness or to show them who I am, those kind of attitude eventually will burn us out. They will eventually dry us and they will throw us out of Krishna's circle. Many people have come and gone in our society. They came, they stayed for a while and they're pushed off because they wanted to lord over people. They wanted to control people, manipulate people. They tried to do that. They took undue advantage of all the privileges available given by the society just because, in those days in BTG there used to be, meet a bona fide spiritual master. They'll put a photograph and write about so-and-so Swami, And people would wash their feet, they would put the flower in their feet and people would be fanning them on either side and all that. Many of the people have fallen and gone away. Many of the people, because they did not know how to be transparent. How to act as a transparent via media. Whatever respect we are getting, we should take it and give it to the superiors. We should not keep it with ourselves. Nor should we demand respect from others. We have to command respect. What is the meaning of commanding respect? Living in such a way that others will naturally feel respect for the superior. You cannot say, "Hey, today morning I saw you entered inside, you didn't offer me obeisances. Why?" You can't ask. So one has to behave in such a way that others will naturally respect. So many people have come in our society in the past and they stayed for a while, and because they used this post and position for enjoying privileges and exploiting the people below them, and they didn't search for Krishna. They forgot Krishna in the course of doing this. Something similar to what happened to Indra. Indra also forgot his upward connection. He tried to become a lord and master of the Vajabhasis and went to the extent of killing them. And then you know what happened. It's very important. Vaishnavism in essence means whatever post or position I may hold, whatever responsibilities that I may accept, ultimately I am simply a servant leader. Servant leader means I am servant of Krishna, servant of devotees, I am a coordinator, I am a facilitator for performing devotional activities. And it becomes helpful to have one coordinator to pull up all the services and, offer it to Krishna. Just like, for example, imagine in the morning we want to perform puja to Radha Kunjibari. Imagine every one of you come with your arti plates. You are supposed to dance. Imagine everyone carrying arti plate and doing all the offerings. Can you imagine the 100 devotees offering arti, standing in their own places? It will be difficult to coordinate such a thing. So what we all do, we all come together and we give the right of offering the worship to one person. One pujari is standing here and telling Prabhuji, today Radha Prabhupada was doing it. Correct? So you give it. You tell him, Prabhuji, you offer to whatever love we have, affection and respect for Radha Kunjibari we have, we will give it to you. And you offer it. You offer it to the Lord. So we give the right to one person to do it, and then that is accepted that he is doing on our behalf. And then he is taking the Lord's mercy and then distributing to everyone. The ghee lamp comes, the flower comes, everything comes like that. In the same manner, somebody is made a leader in order to offer the services of everyone to the superiors. Similarly, whatever instructions are there from the superiors, you take it and then hand it over to people below. So it becomes very helpful to be such an intermediate like interface between a group of people and guru. It becomes easy for the guru to handle. So that kind of facility is given. So that essential principle should be remembered. And also we should know that the great souls have dovetailed my natures, and they have given me some service to do. Say for example, somebody has a managerial capability, inborn capability. Okay, so guru makes him a manager. He'll be a Krishna's manager. Somebody knows to sing nicely, play instruments. Guru may call, please come, you play mridangam for me, you sing for me, or you play some instrument for me. So guru dovetails the talents of the disciples in Krishna's service. And one should never think I am indispensable, because you know, even guru needs me. You know, guru cannot do without me. One should never think like that. Guru has many, many more people to do the same. In fact, we should know that I have these tendencies which are not totally pure, but by dovetailing these tendencies in Krishna's service, Guru is creating opportunity for me to get purified. Like that we should think. That is a very ideal way of thinking about oneself. Guru is dovetailing my talents. So dovetailing talents is not a very high standard. The actual standard is just do what Krishna wants us to do, which we don't know. But Guru dovetails our tendencies. Like that it's ideal way to think. Devotee should think like that. Guru is telling me to preach. Why? If I preach, then I will try to follow what I am preaching. Isn't it? We are not preaching with compassion. Can anybody say that my heart is swelling with compassion? I asked the question on Sunday, did Prabhupada go to America due to obedience or compassion? What is the answer? Actually, what Prabhupada says about himself? What do you say? In obedience to the order of my guru, I went, he says. But we know very well that there was also great compassion in the heart of Prabhupada. Because without compassion, nobody can preach so extensively and give so much Krishna prema, Krishna bhakti to so many people of the world, all around the world, 600 centers now. So, then which of the two is true? I read somewhere this explanation. The obedience is like a box. When you open that box, the fragrance of compassion spreads in all directions. So, Prabhupada went with the obedience box to America, and he opened it there, and he spread the compassion all around and distributed Krishna prema like that. So we don't have compassion, but the compassion of the great souls is very charming. By seeing that, we are also impelled to assist them. So we are assisting them in their compassion mission. It is their mission and we are assistants in their mission. Like we should treat ourselves like one of the nurses in a operation. They do this eye operation or something, surgical operation, there's a big doctor who comes there, he just takes an instrument like that. There is a doctor Sanjay, there's one Dr. Sanjay in London who was operating Ranaswami Maharaj, he is capable of performing a surgical operation even in a tiny child in an embryo which is just this much size. He can operate even when it is in a tiny piece of flesh in the early stage. He can perform surgery, in a very in a less than a millimeter size. I mean, like 1/1000th of a millimeter. In that area, he can perform surgery, like a micron level surgery he can do. So very, very talented doctor. He's a world famous doctor. Because only that portion has to be removed and every other portion has to be left behind. So he's a big doctor, but he has a dozen assistants. And one assistant is making hot water, one assistant is preparing the cotton ready, one is preparing the syringe ready or something, One is preparing the lighting system so that... So everyone is preparing different things. We should always think ourselves to be one of those assistants. And we should think that, surgery, I can't even dream about it. Surgery is the initiation day. That is surgery. Yeah, the Guru gives initiation diksha. I am taking all your sinful reactions, give it to me. And instead I'm giving you this mala in return. Chant the holy names. Now, we don't have such power to deliver anyone. First of all, we ourselves have to deliver ourselves. Struggle. So, if you see ourselves as one of the coordinators and assistants of Guru, assisting in his compassion mission, then we will consider ourselves very small and very tiny and helpless. Amita Kangala Krishna Krishna Bole Dhaye Tava Pache Pache. So he's saying, I am running behind you like a beggar, he says. Kangal means actually like a beggar. Well, beggar for what? I have a lot of wealth of this world, I may have a lot of talents of this world, material talents, but all these things are of no avail in attaining Krishna, a Krishna prema. And you have Krishna with you, please give me Krishna. That is a prayer. So, a devotee should always consider oneself to be insignificant and lowly. Then there will be no expectation of respect from others. But if sometimes we have expertise in some field, and then that brings about some type of, you know, estimation about oneself. Because I have this talent, you know, I deserve to be respected by others. I deserve to be glorified by others, appreciated by others. Like, you know, sometimes somebody gives a Bhagavatam class, and then he gets off the Vyasas and he comes to the people and says, how was the class today? As if he has put a sixer, multiple sixers, you know. Like Sachin, you know, Sachin Tendulkar was putting some, a dozen sixers and coming, how did I do today, you know. Kaisa mera class kaisa tha aaj, or you are told to sing a Vaishnava song, you sing a song and say, how did I sing? Was it like Vyasaki Prabhu or like Indra Prabhu? What do you say? Or you play Mridangam, nowadays you are all learning Mridangam steps now. Play Mridangam, how it was? Was it like Gandharva Loka Mridangam? You know, how did I play? Yeah. Or you dance very artistically, beautifully, and you think, now did I dance like Nataraj? You have seen that Shiva, how he dances? You have seen Nataraj? So, or sometimes the devotee shaves up, you know, clean shaved, wears a tilak, kantimala, and he thinks, how beautiful I look, you know? You know, even that he thinks is beautiful. See, the world is such a crazy world, It is such imaginative, imagination. Too much imagination. I am so beautiful, I think the Matajis are looking at me only. You know? Nobody will look at us. I said, the purpose of shaving the head, you know, is to shave up all the attachments. But somebody thinks, I am so clean shaved and so smart looking, everyone is looking at me only. And things like that, foolishly. So, when we have some expertise, then our mind imagines some estimation. We have a high estimation about ourselves. And we think, I deserve respect, I deserve a salutation, others should praise me. That kind of expectation. Sometimes people openly speak to others. That means this is too high. It's in a very big level now. If somebody tells somebody, you know, how was my class, or how was my singing? Hey, thoda kuch bolo, kaisa tha? Always, very decently people ask you, Prabhu, any feedback you want to give? That means, you know what feedback they expect, everyone. Feedback people are looking for was a pat on the back or appreciation. Of course, we all want appreciation, and Krishna will appreciate through devotees. Appreciation will come on its own without our craving for it. But we should not crave for it. If you are craving for glorification from others, that is a sign of a disease. That's not good. So, and the problem with craving for glorification is what? The problem is, if somebody gives opposite feedback, then they will become your enemy immediately. You don't understand who I am. How can you think, I am famous here, I am famous there, I am famous there. You are the only guy saying, I am not famous. Who are you? You rascal. You know, you don't know who I am. I know what are your problems. Like that our mind will become very violent. So this is the problem of becoming a specialist in any field or expert in any field. You know, every one of us, we have some specialization that we may be good at. And what will Krishna do? He exactly will know what are we proud of, and will pull our leg exactly in that field. Because he knows that this person is proud of this, and somebody will come and talk certain things to us which will really pinch our ego. Because you know, you heard this thing, no? Tulyanindastu termauni santushto yena kena chit aniketaste ramater bhaktiman me priyonar. You heard that, no? He says, Tulya Ninda Stutir Mauni. Tulya means samabhavanase. Tulya Ninda Stuti. See, Ninda means insult. Stuti means praise. Once you take insult and praise equally, he says, Tulya. That is the standard of a devotee. Devotee, see, if I'm craving for a praise, then I will cry tears when somebody finds fault with me. And if I see both of them equally, then I will never get affected by material praise or material insult in this world. See, in this world, people often make wrong estimations about others. Like if somebody says, hey, this guy is very happy. Why is he happy? He's going in a Mercedes-Benz. You know? So people think he's happy. Can you say somebody going in a Mercedes-Benz must be happy? No, instead that fellow has a toothache and his cheek is swollen up. You know? And he's suffering. And severe pain, he's crying. Although sitting in a Mercedes-Benz. Yeah. Similarly, our Gaurangpa was telling, you must have heard, one boy got attracted to a girl, he wanted to marry her. Very beautiful looking. Fair in color, and like a cinema actress with long hair and everything. He got attracted. At last he got married to her. And then when he came near her, her mouth was stinking like anything. He just couldn't tolerate. He asked, what happened to you? What do you eat today? She said, no, this has been there many years. I said, really? Come, let's go to the doctor. She said, I have gone to dozens of doctors. I have eaten, you know, hundreds of medicines. And so he said, come, let's go to America. He took her to America, and big hospitals, they went up and came down and tried everything. And the doctor said, this is an incurable ailment. You have to live with it for the entire life. And so he just cannot go near her at all. Like a urine smell from the mouth. Yeah, terrible smell comes if you go near. So now, anyway, he told his wife, no problem, what to do? I cannot divorce you. You know, I have to tolerate this. So when he would be going to the market, people would be saying, hey, such a beautiful wife he's having. Must be a happy man, you know. Every time, you know, somebody says, hey, good luck for you, you got a beautiful wife. You will cry. But he knows what is his problem. So people make a wrong estimation of others. Correct, no? Isn't it? People make a wrong estimation. Yeah. Similarly, everyone is suffering in different ways. Nobody knows. People make a wrong estimation about others. So people are praising him that you got a good wife, good looking wife and all, but he knows what he is suffering. So why I was quoting this example, we should never want to be like someone else. Like somebody thinks, oh, that cinema actor is so handsome. The next day you read in the newspaper in the morning, you are shot dead. You know, that nobody wants. They want to be beautiful like him or her, but they don't want to be shot. So we shouldn't want to be like anyone else, to put up a show. You know, hankering for being charismatic, hankering for influencing people, you know. Yeah, hankering for getting praises and name and fame from other people. These are all diseases which will bring us to the point of demanding respect from others. And when others don't give respect, my Lord, we will flare up, we will get wild in the mind. So our ego may get affected and we may try to retaliate back. Just like Daksha Prajapati, he expected respect when he entered. When Shiva didn't get up, everyone got up. Only Shiva didn't get up. What happened? Committed terrible offenses and he got a goat head. You see, the result of yajna performance is, you know, you become auspicious and Vishnu appears. But he did yajna in which he got a goat head. Just see, that is a symbol of his false ego. So, in the same manner, we find one thing is expertise, another thing is when we are floating in success, we become arrogant. Indra, he was once floating in success. Right next to him, Sachi was sitting. There was a big umbrella somebody was holding behind, a big white umbrella. People were fanning with chamar and peacock feather. Many demigods were singing glorification prayers for Indra. People were showering flowers. And the whole atmosphere was very happy atmosphere for Indra. See, when one is getting a lot of puja from others, worship from others, then one may consider, I am a great soul. And suddenly his guru appeared there in the inside the door. Like every day he would come in the morning. So Indra thought, every day guru comes and every day I offer obeisances, you know. I was in a very happy mood, but this Brihaspati came there. So he a bit neglected. And the result was what? The result was disastrous. The guru saw that he is offensive. Then he disappeared from the site. And then he lost all his good fortune subsequently. So, see, the nature of wanting respect from others is such that one will not give respect to guru and superiors, but one wants respect from others. Very surprising mentality, no? Isn't it? See, he is floating in success, floating in, puja of other people, but he doesn't want to bow down his head to guru and offer obeisances. This is another thing we all have to learn in our lives. If we want to train people to be obedient, to be disciplined, then we should have people above us. I'm not telling immediately, in Pune situation, all of us, we have, you know, I go to Bombay, I join the CSV, I have senior devotees to whom I bow down. And I take advice from them, I learn from them. Only then I have the right to, you know, give shelter to some people and give them knowledge. Otherwise, if we have nobody to bow down above us, then it is very dangerous for us, dangerous situation for us. But I am telling, in the long run, as years would pass, say 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, we don't know who will be where and what service we will be doing. But we should remember this fact always. At any point of time, people, if we are giving shelter for a few people, they would like to see us bowing down to somebody above us. That's what will give them confidence that this person is rightly situated. If we have nobody above us, we become like a lion in the forest. No, we have nobody to hear from. We have nobody to obey. We have no accountability in life. You know, we tell people, I am the ultimate for you. All of you surrender only to me. But nobody will want to do that. So Indra did not surrender to Brihaspati, but he wanted all people to bow down to him and worship him. That was a wrong expectation. And he lost all his good fortune. So, like you see, Parikshit Maharaj is coming into the near the hermitage of Samikrishi. At that time, he had a great expectation. You know, what was his... See, this is a drama that he played, but we have to learn a good lesson in our life. He thought, even if an ordinary guest comes into somebody's home, they should be given a place to sit, given some water to drink, they should be spoken some polite words, and they should be greeted and welcomed. But I am coming here. I am not an ordinary guest. I am a king of the world. A king of the world should be given the best gifts when he comes into somebody's house. And he should be offered the best respects and worship. And here there is no one to look at me or honor me. So that caused some irritation in his mind. Result is offense. He took a snake and put it around the neck of Samikrishi. So expectation of respect causes offensive behavior. You see? And Sringi had a high estimation of himself. I am a Brahmana's son. See the Brahmanatva. Like, you know, we all have joined Brahmachari life, but those of you who are coming from Brahmana families, you will see that, you know, there is a anartha in one corner of our mind that I belong to a Brahmana family. That is very difficult to... Probably it will die only with the body. till the death, it will not go away so easily. If somebody, some people are so proud that I belong to a Brahmana family, yeah. Although they have never read the Vedas, they are not Shuddha Sampanna. They have not read the Vedas, four Vedas, they haven't read properly. They are very proud of claiming I am Brahmana, but they are doing engineering, which is a Shudra's job. This Maharaj, what is his name? This Gurukul Maharaj, no? Bhakti Vidyapurna Maharaj. Bhakti Vidyapurna Maharaj. So he was once telling, some group of boys had gone to Mayapur, you know. He was telling them, what are you all doing? He said, they said, we are doing engineering. He said, what is engineering job? It is a, he said, high class Shudra job, like that he was telling. And then he was telling how it is. He said, you are, see, a Shudra may carry a load from this room to that room with his two hands, luggage, like the coolie people carry. And what do? You take a big luggage and put it in a ship, cargo ship, and you move it from here to America, you know. So you do the same job in a more sophisticated way, he was telling. And then he told them, this is avidya. But if you study Bhagavad Gita, you will no more be a Shudra, you will become Brahmana. Because then you will know about Brahma. Then you will know about Atma, Paramatma. Then you become a Brahmana, real Brahmana. And then he said, all the Brahmana boys, they are doing engineering now and becoming Shudras. He was telling. So he said, what intelligence is needed to send a big luggage from this country to that country in a ship? People are designing ships, how to send the luggage. People are designing aircrafts, how to send, goods from one place to another, using their brain for manipulating matter. So, when Sringi was very proud of being a Brahmana, what he said? He started comparing Brahma Kul, Kshatriya Kul and all that. He immediately wrongly estimated Parikshit, by which he took his sacred thread, cut it off, and he spelled the curse. He said, how dare the Kshatriyas, who are like watchdogs outside the home, they are coming into the kitchen and eating the ghee that is kept for the residents of the house. He started like speaking bad words to Parikshit, and then he said, just because Krishna and Arjuna have left this planet doesn't mean the Kshatriyas can lord over the Brahmanas. I will destroy the king, he said, and he cut off the sacred thread and he spelled a curse. Seventh day from today, this king will be dead. It comes from Brahminical pride. So Sringi took shelter of Brahma Tejas, and Parikshit took shelter of Kshatra Tejas. Durvasamuni took shelter of Yoga Tejas, like that. Saubarimuni took shelter of Tapobal. All these guys are taking material shelter, you will see. A devotee should never take shelter of material shelters. Devotees always take shelter of Krishna. See Ambarish Maharaj, whose shelter he took? Krishna's shelter. Prahlad Maharaj, whose shelter he took? Haridas Thakur. They all took shelter of Krishna. So when one goes for material shelters because of having a bloating ego, by using their powers, they were trying to exploit the opposite party. The result was very disastrous. So, as soon as there is an expectation of respect, then there is offensive speech, offensive behavior, offensive plan making, everything goes on. As soon as there is then there is blaming, accusing, belittling others, blaspheming, pulling leg, and becoming duplicitous, political, everything comes. It's a result of expectation of respect. One should not expect respect at all. That is why it says amanina. The first verse is amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa. So two things. One is a person who is qualified but doesn't have any expectation of respect. Another fellow has no qualification, still he wants respect. That is even more worse, actually. Dambha. Dambha means show bottle. Expectation of respect. So, a devotee has to identify this tendency in oneself, and we have to clean up this tendency, expectation of respect. So for that we have to consider ourselves very small. I am very insignificant. I don't deserve any respect from anyone. And when we think like that, then it is very helpful. It's very helpful for getting rid of this wrong tendency. Okay, Krishna has given me some expertise. Like when I was playing kartal, nobody taught me. I just suddenly one day I took kartal and my hand started going like this, you know. I just saw some devotee and playing. Then I realized actually many things we do are actually enacted by the super soul. God has given us talents, and we don't actually, it's not our own. That realization immediately came to me when I played the kartal. Because many times we don't know, like music we are singing now, the vocal cord is, you know, contracting and expanding, and some sound vibration comes out. How many of you can say that, you know, my sweet singing actually is manipulated by me? Are we manipulating the vocal cord? Isn't it? Even our hands, the movement of our hands, legs, this is all orchestrated by super soul. Super soul, Lord is doing that. So when we meditate and realize that actually there are many things done by Krishna through me, like harmonium, suddenly hears a sound, beautiful raga is coming out. Harmony is wondering, hey, how wonderful I am. But how the harmony becomes wonderful? If harmonium is lying in the car, will it be wonderful? When the harmonium is remembered by anybody? When it is played. But does it play by itself? Then how the sounds are coming, nice sounds. Somebody is playing over the harmonium. So nice music is released from the harmonium. It's very relishable for everyone. So when Krishna uses us as his instrument, or Guru uses us as an instrument, then it becomes wonderful. Many people appreciate not us, our being played by our Guru. That people are appreciating. Our Guru is, see, if we didn't come in contact with our Guru, will we be doing wonderful things in life? By coming and putting ourselves under the feet of the Guru, then through us he is doing some things which are benefiting people, and then people are thanking us. Actually we have to know, actually somebody above is orchestrating me, and that is being appreciated. We should know. For example, sometimes we go to grihastha's houses for program, and grihastha's are having so much respect. Prabhuji has come. And sir, Prabhuji, please take prasad, please take dry fruits. You know, some young brahmachari, they would take dry fruits and put it in the packet, both of them. Hari, Itra Devi, Apura, dry fruits. That's mean-mindedness. So, when people are giving a lot of respect, so much respect, actually it is not that they are respecting us. Why are they respecting us? Because by seeing us, whom are they remembering? Our Guru. Because they have taken diksha from my Guru. For example, we go to their house, they see Guru's representative has come. This is Guru's servant. This fellow is serving the Guru, on behalf of Guru is serving. So by looking at us, they are thinking of our Guru. So then they offer that respect what they would give to Guru to us. And we may think, oh, maybe I have become a great soul now, you know. They are respecting me. No, they don't have respect for us. They are respecting our Guru through us. If you honestly ask them, they will say, yes, that is actually the truth. And they should never be forgotten. But the problem is what? When we keep getting respect more and more and more, we can become like a spoiled child. Indra became like a spoiled child. Have you seen? Spoiled children means what? Like a child goes to a shop and he says, 5-star chocolate. Papa, I want a chocolate. And the father is not giving. Then he will sit on the ground waving his hands and legs. He cry, and he'll be bringing an artificial tears. Then the father is looking at the mother, what to do? This child is creating a scene. All people are watching here. Mother says, why didn't you give him money? Why didn't you buy a chocolate and give so that the child will not cry? You know? Then they give. Then what is the result of that? Now the child has learned the crying technique. Every time he wants chocolate, what he will do? He will do the drama. And he keeps doing. Spoiled child, we call it. Because parents have pampered the child. Some parents, they say, you know, Beta, in our young days, we lived in poverty in a small hut. Now we want you to be happy. Here are 25 chappals. Here are 50 shoes. Here are 100 sets of dresses. They pamper a child. And pamper children are dangerous children. Because, you know, that's why in America, why children shoot others when they grow. You know, I want dress. Immediately they get. I want chocolate. Immediately they get. I want my own room. They get it. I want my own bike. They get it. Then when they grow to teenage, they say, I want this girl to marry. And the girl says, I don't love you. They shoot. Huh? They shoot immediately. Yeah. Because the girl says, no, I will not marry you. I don't like you. Shoot. Because they are pampered children. Same way, as devotees, when we become pampered, as we grow, I get what I want. And then what about when you don't get what you want? How will we behave? So we have to teach a devotee simplicity. We have to learn to live in simple conditions, and then when we don't get what we want, we have to know Krishna doesn't want to give me now. And Krishna knows why he doesn't want to give me. And whatever Krishna is giving me is good enough for me. I'm happy with that. And gross things, we may be ready to, you know, accept the facts that, okay, now they will give us, a particular facility when we grow to a certain stage. But the subtle thing, which is respect. Now, you see, when we have been always thinking ourselves to be small, you know, insignificant and lowly, then the expectation of respect is not much. You know, like for example, I'm sitting here. From here, if I topple and fall down on the ground now, you know, I may not hurt so much. Imagine, right? Imagine I'm in the first floor, I'm watching around and I'm slipping and falling from here. You know, maybe this little more damage, isn't it? Imagine if I'm going in a plane, you know, probably 10,000 feet high, I topple and fall from there, you know. Damage will be much more. Is it not true? That is why, see, depending on what is my estimation of myself, that is very important. Is my estimation like this? Or I'm on the ground level, or this level? The true devotee's estimation about himself is on the ground level. He thinks, what he says, what is that word, Munira? He says, no. Lagishta, Papishta, he says in our Krishna Kaviraj Goswami, Purisherak. There's one verse where he says, you know, he says, I am like a worm in the stool, anybody who takes my name, you know, they will lose all their pious credits. Correct? Krishna Kaviraj Goswami says about himself, yeah, he's a Kaviraj. I am worse than Jagai and Madai also. So, because he has a very low estimation about himself, then how much is his quantity of expectation of respect? Zero. He feels respect. I deserve to be kicked and beaten up by people. He feels like that. Anybody who thinks, like one devotee asked Krishna and Prabhuji, today they told me to give Bhagavatam class, Prabhuji. It is such a difficult job for me, you know, he said. And Krishna asked, what is the problem? You couldn't prepare or what? He said, no. I prepared for the last 2 weeks. You know, I made notes, 4 or 5 pages I kept all around. Different color stickers and everything I put, and you know, different notes I brought. And he said, I gave a fantastic class, he said. You know, and Krishna said, what is the problem? Probably my problem is, you know, I'm feeling too much pride, you know. I'm unable to control my pride. I'm afraid the head is going to blow like a balloon. I'm feeling so much pride because I gave such a wonderful class. Everyone surrounded me and they appreciated me, glorified me so much. That made my balloon even bigger, more bigger. So then Krishanpu laughed and laughed. He asked Prabhuji, why are you laughing? He said, you know, you are so proud of giving, this is your first Bhagavatam class, you are so proud of this. And he said, what is your knowledge or realization in front of your Guru? And he said, what is your knowledge and realization in front of Prabhupada? And he said, what is the estimation of your lecture in front of Bhaksan Saraswati's talks? You can't even understand most of the words what Bhaksan Saraswati is saying. Isn't it? And he said, what about, you know, the Goswamis, 6 Goswamis, lakhs of verses they have written in Sanskrit. All commentaries they have written, Vishwanachakudra, Agur, Bhadev, Devabhushan, Goswamis, all Sanskrit commentary. How much Sanskrit knowledge do you have? What is your scholarship? You are just cutting and pasting here and there, putting them together and, you know, giving a lecture. And you are so proud. He said, what about Shukadeva Goswami? He said, Shutidhar. He just heard once 18,000 verses and he is verbatim repeating. What is your position in front of him? What about Narada Muni? So when Krishnanpa asked like this, this devotee, immediately it was like a pricking a balloon. You know? He said, rest of you, now when I think of all these things, I feel I am not very great. He said, no, you are not very great, you are good for nothing. He said, you have no stand only in front of these people. You are so small, nobody can identify you. You are not even a mustard seed. He said, we have to understand how small. So, in spiritual life, we should always look up to people who are above us. In material life, we should always look down for people below us. So when you see people who are living in the Dharavi slum, you'll be grateful to Krishna that I'm getting my daily prasad, and you know, you've given me proper body and everything. See Somalia or this Bosnia, you know, all those places, children and you know, hands and legs are, you know, they are affected by radioactivity, or some of them are poor. Like you see the Hiroshima Nagasaki, after that people's bodies, how they are. So Krishna has given us proper hands, legs, head, face, neck, everything. He has given, you'll be grateful for the position in which we are put. And spiritual life, you'll always look up. There are so many people above us. So if my estimation of myself is that I am small, I am insignificant, and I need help of other devotees, you know, it's not that I can make decision of my own. Many times I consult other devotees, it's good for me, and I have a superior to guide me. Then we will have our head between our shoulders. Otherwise our head will be in the clouds. So that is the meaning of amanina. Not expecting any respect in return. Actually, we don't put people in post or position unless they have digested this knowledge, what I am talking here now. You have Sanjeev Krishna Prabhu. I heard from Sundarshan Prabhu when he was going to Osmania University, isn't it? He was coming there. You were in Osmania at the time? Yeah, he was in Osmania University. Sundarshan Prabhu used to go. He used to always come and tell me, here is a boy. You know, he is a ready-made devotee, he used to tell me. He is a ready-made. He's a first-class devotee. Later on, he brought him to NIT Warangal. Saw him. And they talked to him and all. And he had earned a lot of good name in Hyderabad. Circle of boys there. Very wonderful. Later on, he wanted to join in Pune. Actually, one thing I observed in him is, any service you give, he will do faithfully, very unassuming. And we have put him as the leader of your group, ICSC, but he has no lording over tenancy at all. It's very surprising how he gets all of you disciplined without having to shout at you, yell at you, and correct you. He gets everyone going very wonderfully, very friendly. Actually, Raghunatha Swami Maharaj stresses a lot on dealing with devotees in a sweet way, so that devotees will not feel threatened. Devotees will feel very safe and protected and warm. They have to experience love and care, especially in the early stage. You know, Lalayat Panchavarshani. And then Dashavarshani Tadayat. Then you have to discipline people more stricter after they grow to a certain level. In the initial level, they have to be given a lot of affection and love. So when I thought about who can do that, I had put him. Gopakrishna Maharaj also told when he came, when I was talking to him, he said, we have to forgive people and give them a second chance, always. He said, because people, you know, especially in this Kali Yuga, people are very weak-hearted and people are struggling. Of course, if somebody is doing a deliberate mistake, he deserves to be given some punishment. But otherwise people are very fragile in this age. So he has been taking a very wonderful personal care of the devotees, and perfect in reporting and perfect in care. And so above him you have Radha Pramod Prabhu. I had chosen two people in those days, Balagovindpur and Radha Pramod Prabhu. For various reasons, how I chose these people, one thing is they have, first of all, they have to be very good in Bhakti Shastri. Bhakti Shastri, he got high honors, very good marks. So Siddhanta is solid, solid understanding of philosophy. Apart from that, I look for another thing. How a person is very good in being a good teacher. Teacher means what? Teaching people, conducting tests, you know, getting the papers corrected, putting up the marks. you know, keeping the devotees enlivened, you know, in Krishna consciousness, giving them engagements, and happy being in their midst. One doesn't think much about oneself, but one always thinks of the students. How I can keep them happy, meditating on the students. These are qualities of a teacher. Teacher means a thoroughly prepared man, well prepared. What topics we are going to give, you know, what do we want to train the students in. So I saw in Balabanpu and Radhapamarpu this quality also, which is very vital. Another thing is keeping cheerful and being loyal in reporting and not acting independently, but properly reporting and acting as a transparent via media, which means the student should be able to see the superiors through the teacher. Through the teacher, and then they can see Guru, and then they can see Krishna. And training and molding the students in such a way. Actually, even in residential schools, you will see the teacher lives with the student practically. Because the teacher has to watch the students very carefully. Every student is like a child. They need to be watched. And somebody is weak in something, strong in something, you know. And somebody needs help. Some children, you have to catch them by their hands and escort them some distance. Similarly, all students are not you know, confident in everything. They need help and offering help. So I saw that, you know, for trainer, for somebody to be a trainer, there has to be an inclination. So I saw Radhapamapu, Balagunpu, they had this talent. And also to come up with various innovative ideas to charge the group of students and not keeping things just monotonous. So time to time, I saw that, you know, in our temple when Radhapamapu joined, you know, Balaji Seva was completely down at one time. He took it up and he put up, he made the flex print out, he put it up, you know, and the worship, he hiked up the worship, he brought his father. And what we have today is amazing. And festival decoration he and Uttaribhanga Mahaprabhu used to do. And I also saw that he is very smart and you know, engaging the students. You know, take them to Juhu and render service to Maharajas, take them to Aravade. And assist. Actually, it's not that, okay, students are there, I am there, you know, let them keep hearing the lecture and writing the quizzes, but I can relax and do what I want to do. If somebody is thinking about oneself, they cannot do, but, you know, extending oneself and, you know, creating a spirit of enthusiasm among students, knowing their shortcomings and helping them to come up. Very amazing. These qualities are very vital for a teacher. Another quality vital for a teacher is offering correction to the student at the right time. Like for example, say you do a small mistake. I call you privately and tell you that, hey, Prabhu, this has to be rectified. And then I appreciate you for your good. And then I offer you a correction. It's easy for you to correct immediately. But if you allow a student to commit mistake after mistake after mistake and you keep quiet, either you are afraid to correct the devotee. And then one day you will find the devotee has gone down so much, now to bring him back is so difficult. It's like giving a long rope to a devotee so that he puts a noose around his neck and then pull him now. He will get choked completely. So correction should be offered very briefly and at the appropriate time. And of course, in Radha Pramod Prabhu's earlier batch he was doing, they were all, some of them are big, big devotees in that. And he managed all of them with great difficulty. It's not very easy. Some of them are almost like equal to him, some of them, because they were very old devotees. Many years they have been in Krishna consciousness. So very wonderfully, also he would give them encouragement, giving some special Mahaprasad, you know, keeping some, you know, sending them out for book distribution, sending them out for Harinam, very wonderful. I was completely satisfied. Now he is taking assistance from Sanjeev Krishna Prabhu now. So these are very, very wonderful devotees, very exemplary. Actually, they are like model devotees. for all of you to learn and follow many things. And they are constantly meditating on how to, on one hand, how to make you happy, on the other hand, how to give you the right thing. They are finding out how to give you the right thing by packaging it with something that will make you happy also. You know, they are always meditating. How to do this? Like Sri Guru has told, if ICSC devotees bring 108 Prabhupada Seva members, he will gift all of you with an Omni, isn't it? Yeah. Let us see. If you are not staying here, to have an Omni for your group would be very good. Going, coming would be very helpful. So that way Prabhupada Seva also will come and you also get Omni, you know. So actually in our life we all need a short-term challenge. Because we are not like Haridas Thakur, we can be chanting 3 lakh names every day, sitting in Siddha Bakul, you know. You know, we all need short-term challenges, and that is one of the duties of a teacher, to create short-term challenges, give them an immediate goal to achieve in everything, in hearing, in reading, in chanting, in doing seva, keeping the group very spirited. So both the last batch and this batch has been handled wonderfully by the devotees. They have the spirit to what I have been talking in the last 2-3 days. Tolerance, humility, tolerance, no expectation of respect, and offering of respect to others. They are very, very wonderful example. I can tell you, because of these 2 devotees, I have so much confidence in them that I rarely come to, you know, stay with all of you and spend time. Actually, what will happen, I feel, in Pune over the years, now we have almost 120 devotees now. The next batch is coming now in May. So year after year, the number of batches will increase. You know, it may become 200, 300, 400 devotees. I surely may not be able to pay attention at all. I was telling that Rupa Vrind, Sanatan Vrind, and then Raghunath Bhatta Vrind will come now, next one. You know, probably I will pay attention to them, those 3 groups. And I will pay regular attention to them. And I will take regular reporting from them also. And then the subsequent Vrindas, I'll make Murari Prabhu, Sri Guru Charan Prabhu, Balagovind Prabhu, you know, this type of devotees will pay attention, more attention. They may take camps, and I may probably come for a short portion of the camps, you know. Like I was here last 2-3 days, either I can occasionally come, probably once in 3-4 months, or once in 6 months or so, I think. I can come like that, because Hindi group, probably I go once in 6 months for a class for them, you know. I don't go at all. So a lot of my energy goes in sorting out. Because Rupa Vrinda devotees, the self problems and others' problems that they bring are of a very subtle nature, you know. And then the Sanatana Vrinda also. In all total, we have more than 1,000 counselees, students. And another 500,000 boys who are connected to Pune, you know. So we have about 1,500 to 2,000 people. So any boy has any 4 regs related problem, immediately the counselor brings it to me. You know, we discuss, because there is no standard solution. If a boy did this, you do this. You know, because the boy's motivation, intention, why he did, what he did, and magnitude, so many factors are there. So a lot of my energy time goes in spending with these counselors. So because of these 2 devotees, I can be very happy and peaceful. They are running the show very wonderfully. And you all are firing very nicely. You did so much book distribution in just 1 day. And Radha Prabhu and Sanjeev Shambhu were telling me that this group is a very, very special group, because they are very easy to work with. You don't have to push anyone. You don't have to pull anyone. You know, they are more than willing to do service. And we are very, they said, there is no strain for us. And people are very cooperative. And they were telling me that we are quite happy with this team. So, actually, you know, we don't have to necessarily always have difficult situations. Difficulty comes only when there is resistance. Authority is seen as authority when there is resistance to the authority. This sentence comes in the 11th canto, one purport. Sridhananda Maharaj writes, Authority will be seen as an authority when there is resistance to it, he says. But authority will not be seen as an authority when we align with the right path, and then life would be very relishable, enjoyable. And you all have almost finished half of your training now. The next 6 months, today I was talking to them what all themes we should focus on for further training and everything. We are actually, time to time they report to me and we sit and plan how, what kind of polishing we have to do. Because every one of you is like a diamond. Now, they too are like diamond polishers. So they are bringing different devotees to you, and they are polishing and bringing out the diamond in you. Then tomorrow you all will be eventually shaving up and wearing white and wearing saffron, taking up many departments and many projects, taking leadership. You are all very extremely fortunate. You are getting the right training at the right time, at appropriate time. Yesterday one gentleman was talking to me. Somewhere in Australia I was talking. There was one big preacher. He was telling, he was a Grihastha preacher. He's very famous, powerful preacher, charismatic preacher. Was preaching, many people came. He became attracted to one of the young couple man who would come for the program to his wife. Can you imagine? This man is preaching. But while preaching, many young couples came and he became attracted to another woman, good looking woman. So eventually, and this fellow is also good looking. So he allured her and he wanted to marry her. Can you imagine, that fellow is seeing this fellow as a Shiksha Guru. And he wanted to marry his wife. That fellow is crying, Prabhuji, how can you do this? You know, she is married to me. You know, that, and they both ran away. And now, in their young age, they did that, and now he has become 48 or 50 years now. So which means he has committed such a great crime in his life, marrying another man's wife. Now both the families are disturbed. Can you imagine? He left his previous wife and he ran away with another man's wife. And all the four members are devotees. He and his wife are devotees. They both are devotees. Why such a thing happens? Because of lack of training. He was a big, big preacher, but there is no accountability. There is no accountability. There is no one to report to. And there is no proper training of how to deal with man-woman relationship and all. Sometimes all of you may see that Radhisham is very heavy in when it comes to the talk between man-woman things. Actually, I have created such a kind of image in Pune that people are extremely fearful about this. It's good only, that kind of fear. It's good, why? Because, see, this man, because our senses are so vulnerable, we can fall prey to such things in this world. It's very possible. Can you imagine? Now you'll surely, such people surely get animal body in the next life. Do you know? Prabhupada says in one place, if somebody, even after having become a devotee, they indulge in breaking a regulative principle in a serious way, like this, they get animal body for some time at least. In Vrindavan, Prabhupada says the monkeys and the pigs, they are all big yogis and devotees who lived in Vrindavan before, but they broke the regulative principle and they become animals in the next life. Very dangerous. So why I quoted this example, all of you are saved from the inevitable great dangers that may come in our life if you are not trained. If you are trained, if you are being supervised, if you are being watched, it may be a bit painful for us in the beginning, but that you know, pain and training that we get, you know, that will save us from great dangers. Great dangers. There are so many brahmacharis who join ISKCON and after 5 years, 10 years, they become like Dadajis. Dadaji. Dadaji means, you know, they don't attend the morning program, they have no Bhagavatam study, and they are wearing big gold band wristwatches. And eating opulent foods, you know, driving here and there in big bikes. They become like jamindars, and they have so many dubious behavior with women. And they are becoming big sattakars, giving sattak some places. They do nonsense in one hand and speak big things in other places. Now there is nobody who is able to control them. I get phone calls from President Prabhuji, for Brahmachari does like this, what we should do. what do you do in your temple? And I tell them, what do you do? So all of you, you are very fortunate. You are put under the safe custody of these two devotees who are... See, they are worrying about you more than you worry about yourself. And they are planning for you, training for you, all the programs. They are just taking you from one platform to another platform of training, taking you higher and higher. And eventually, after you take white and saffron, then I'll be sending all of you to Mayapur for TTC-1, TTC-2, BS TTC, Bhakti Shastri TTC. And then eventually, we want to put all of you through the ISKCON Leads program, you know, which we are all undergoing now. Then you'll go for communication course, mediation course, leadership and management courses, many, many things like that. And what I have planned is this, that in the college, our boys will become facilitators. After one becomes a white Shavana devotee, then they'll be called as a caretaker. And after one takes saffron, they'll be called as an assistant counselor during the first year of saffron, you know, 1 year or so. And after that, they can become a counselor. So facilitator, caretaker, assistant counselor, and counselor. So gradually, so you will get almost probably about 5 years for you to become a counselor. So there is no hurry. You can become more mature in your life and more solidified by the time you have read some Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, some part of it. And also, you undergone a lot of training programs. After which, we don't want to hastily give big positions to people, you know, because they may damage themselves and they may damage others also, you know. So you are in a very extremely fortunate position. So I would like to thank Radha Prabhu and Sanjay Bhushan Prabhu for the dedication, for the commitment and dedication, you know, bringing a group of people here in this in a place like this. I mean, they were coming here earlier. I was telling, hey, you don't have the deity here and you don't have atmosphere like Kunjipari temple. Right now everything is in a kacha stage, everything is not finished, and all I said. But Radha Prabhu was very confident. He said, we'll make a very beautiful atmosphere. See, a lot of innovation, putting all this gobar and pictures and everything, and planning out engagements according to the new place you have come here. They're carrying it forward like a family. Actually, this is what gave me a lot of confidence in the last 2 years. When the Kunjipari temple swells in size and becoming Radha Vrindavan Chandra temple now, so we will make groups of devotees and we will put one or two sincere leaders in the top, and they will take care of the group. That's my plan also. That is how I feel our whole temple can be taken care. Everyone can be taken perfect care. Thank you very much. 10 o'clock. I didn't see the clock only.